Have you ever been to a gym? Been to a gym lately? They have lots of these. They have lots of other machines that you adjust. This one. I see people on these things all the time. Marcy and I go 3 days a week to a gym, and Jeremy's our trainer. We don't ever use this. We're on elliptical trainers, which do basically the same thing. You put forth a lot of effort, but you go nowhere. You don't make any progress. Now, you say, yes, you got to understand the need for something like this. And I do understand it. And I do know that it probably makes a difference in the lives of a lot of people. But just thinking about it, it makes no sense. Because you would think if you're pedaling a bicycle, it's because you're going to end up going somewhere. But when you're on one of these, and they're very popular, they're used to help people train. Basically, you're putting forth a lot of effort, and in return, you're staying in the same place. This is exactly how Solomon felt when he tried to answer the question, what is the meaning of life? What's life all about? Now, I know, you know, that sounds like a question that, you know, could just lead to all different kinds of things. And that's exactly what the book of Ecclesiastes does. It seeks through the eyes of the wealthiest man on the face of the earth during his lifetime, king over all the Jews, the wisest man on the face of the earth, a man who could have anything and everything that he wanted. And believe you me, he did take advantage of those privileges. But this is basically what it was all about. It was putting forth a lot of effort, but ending up in the same place or in a worse place. We're looking through these chapters of the book of Ecclesiastes, seeking to find some answers. We've made it to a survey of the second chapter. That's what our daily Bible readings have been about this week. I would encourage you, if you hadn't picked up a copy of those daily Bible readings, you can do so in the main atrium on your way out, or if you're on our email list, you get them anyway. But when Solomon started asking these questions, when he started writing this bike that led to nowhere, he did his best to search out and to try to figure out what the meaning of life, what the meaning of existence was all about. And this was a man who was a God-fearer. He had a relationship with the Lord, and yet he kept asking these questions. Well, in searching for the meaning of life, you're going to find, Ecclesiastes is going to tell us, that there are several different ways that people search for meaning in their existence. I mean, the basic questions of what's my purpose? Why was I created? What am I doing here? Why am I in this place? What's going on? Does it all add up to anything worthwhile? And of course, we know, because we know the end of the story, we know what Ecclesiastes is really going to point us toward, but let's go on that journey with Solomon for a few minutes and try to figure out over these next weeks exactly what happened when he put forth these valiant efforts to find meaning in his existence. There are several paths to finding that meaning. I think that you can call them different things. You can say it's, oh, it's this or that. But it all boils down to about four or five different avenues that people take in order to find out what life is all about. We're going to look at one of those this morning. It's one that he mentions in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and it is pleasure. It's seeking to find meaning in your life based upon pursuing pleasure. Anything that you want, anything that will satisfy you. He put it this way in Ecclesiastes 2:1. He said, I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure. So enjoy yourself. And behold, it too was futility. I said of laughter, it is madness, and of pleasure, what does it accomplish? Okay, now, this is one means, this is one avenue that people throughout history have taken trying to find meaning to their existence. And Solomon is going to tell us that if anyone could have anything, it was him. And what did he do with that quest for pleasure? Well, let's outline a few verses to give us some of the responses and some of the end results of his search for meaning. He said in verse 3 of Ecclesiastes 2, I explored with my mind how to stimulate my body with wine while my mind was guiding me wisely, and how to take hold of folly until I could see what good there is for the sons of men to do under heaven the few years of their lives. So what did he try to do? What was pleasure to him at one point in his life? Well, it appears to be alcohol, booze. And notice he doesn't say that I overserved myself. There's moderation in all things. He says, I explored my mind to stimulate my body with wine while my mind was guiding me wisely. He didn't drink and drive, in other words. He was doing it in such a way to maintain control of his faculties. So we're not talking about blatant drunkenness here. We're not talking about someone who lived and breathed for the next drink, wherever it would come from. But at the same time, what is his conclusion? His conclusion is that booze did not bring that meaning to my life. Pleasure in the bottle, if you will. Not overindulging it, not saying that it's a terrible thing, knowing that all things come with a cost at some time or another, and Solomon saying, to the best of my ability, I tried to keep it under control, and I did keep it under control, but the bottom line is, it didn't give me the answers I was looking for. It's futility. Now, you can compare that, what he talks about here in verse 3, to several different things that we do in our lives to give us pleasure. One of those things, you know, centers upon where you find this. There are some people who live their lives thinking if they keep their body in shape, if they just keep everything tight, and if everything is done according to a strict diet, that that's going to what? That's going to make them happy, and perhaps it does for a while, just like Solomon's experiment here with booze. But bottom line is, what's going to happen to our physique? It's going to go south. It's going to go down. It's going to degenerate. You see, it's not going to bring you the pleasure. Or that pleasure is not going to bring you the meaning that you're looking for in life. So Solomon turned to another place. He said, I enlarged my works. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. I made gardens and parks for myself. I planted them all and in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made ponds of water for myself from which to irrigate a forest of growing trees. That's kind of a strange way to describe pleasure. But what did he start that passage with? He said, I enlarged my works. I built houses. Things. And he looked at it in the viewpoint of cultivating beauty and using the fruit of the earth, using trees, using plantation ideas, using the farm motif, whatever it was. He says, I sought to live in the most beautiful house. I sought to surround myself with everything that nature could provide. And things didn't provide meaning for him. Because things lead to more things. And no matter how magnificent his buildings were, his amassing of things, said it's just not, that kind of pleasure is not answering my ultimate question. Also, I collected for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. So here's an easy one, money. If I could just have more, one might think, well, here's the king of all Israel. He was wealthy beyond any definition of wealth. And what's his basic conclusion? Didn't give him the answer. That seeking pleasure did not calm, did not fill the emptiness and the void in his life. He says, I bought male and female slaves, and I had home-born slaves. I also possessed flocks and herds larger than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. I provided for myself male and female singers and the pleasures of men, many concubines. Okay, what's he talking about here? He's talking about lust. He's talking about sex. He's talking about relationships that were not the healthiest to try to cultivate, but he said, I'm in this for pleasure. And he found that even relationships didn't provide that meaning. I mean, how many wives did he have? Was it 700, I believe, the scripture tells us? You talk about getting confused. Mm-hmm. Relationships didn't provide that meaning. See, folks, we could go on and on, but basically what we've got to understand, we got to understand what's happening to us. When you're seeking to find that meaning, and you may say, well, I'm not just, you know, a one-track mind. I'm not just saying pleasure for pleasure in and of itself. But if the idea of pleasure, the idea of fulfilling these needs for things or whatever they are, whatever it is you're looking for, this is one avenue of trying to find meaning in life. And what Solomon is trying to answer here is he didn't understand why things turned out the way they always did. What's going on? What's happening in his life and in his mind and his heart and in his spirit? It's a book entitled Seinfeld, Master of the Domain, Revisiting TV's Greatest Sitcom. If you're familiar with Seinfeld, you know in years past, it was an immensely popular situation comedy on TV. There are some people I know that can quote entire lines from an entire episode of a certain portion of Seinfeld, which is a story of a group of friends living in New York trying to what? Trying to understand what the meaning of life is all about. Well, this biography, if you will, Seinfeld, the Master of the Domain, puts together some interviews that Jerry Seinfeld gave. And one of those, on page 158 of this book, this is what he said about the meaning of that sitcom. He said, everybody's looking for good sex, good food, and a good laugh. They're little islands of relief in what's often a painful existence. Let me read that again. Everybody's looking for good sex, good food, and a good laugh. They're little islands of relief in what's often a painful existence. What's happening to us? There are many of us who were living our life, seeking through pleasure, through satisfying some deeply felt needs in our lives, emotionally and physically. And in seeking to do so, we're grabbing on to anything that can give us some peace of mind, some relief, some pleasure to make us smile, to make us laugh, to make us desire to satisfy the physical hunger, the emotional, symbolic hunger of our lives. And if you don't understand That's what all of us are going through at times in our lives. When we're looking for meaning through pleasure, then you need to understand it. Look back at your past and see if little islands of relief have really been what you've survived on. There's also an understanding of what I call the law of diminishing returns. And you know what that is, don't you? That is, you get something that you think will satisfy your need, and then you find that there's something better out there. I mean, this gets me every time. We needed a dishwasher a couple of weeks. I mean, we've needed a dishwasher for quite some time. But we went to a certain point, and Marcy just said, this isn't working. I could have just gone out and bought a dishwasher. But I spent days researching dishwashers. I got so confused because this one's the perfect one. Nebraska Furniture Mart has it on sale for the next 5 minutes, so you better get there and make sure that you can get a hold of it. And then you rush to that, and then you see, well, wait a minute, I click on this, there's another. And the worst thing you can do is they line up now. What's their marketing strategy? They let you compare models. You can pick 4 or 5, line them up in a row, and they'll give you all of the information. They'll give you all the reviews and all the things that people have said about it. What does it do? Well, it just makes me know that this one's better. So I don't want to get this one because this one is going to be better than that one. It goes for everything almost in life. You get a hold of something, it's yours, and then immediately what do? You're dissatisfied because the next thing out there has grabbed your attention. I mean, I'm victim of this. I have people that cannot believe that the iPhone I have is an iPhone 6 Plus, which is like 5 years old. Because I'm always the one who wants to one-up whoever I'm around with the fact that I have the newest and the best. Simple fact is, I can't afford the newest and the best. But that doesn't stop you from wanting it. Doesn't stop you from getting in that cycle of the law of diminishing returns. And Solomon says this is exactly what pleasure, trying to find meaning in life solely through pleasure, satisfying my physical and emotional needs, this is where it's brought me. This is the richest man on the face of the earth. And he falls victim to the law of diminishing returns. You know, as I was reading through this, I asked myself the question, who advised Solomon to seek meaning in pleasure? No one did. He chose it. No one tempted him. Well, he had some temptations, but it was because he had already set into motion what he was driving for, what he was going to achieve if he at all possibly could. So once again, you got to understand where you're coming from. What you got to understand you and what drives you. And if it's the little islands of relief, own up to it. If it's the law of diminishing returns that makes you unsatisfied with everything because there's always something better out there, own up to it. And if it's a simple fact that you're sitting here going, who made me do this? What has driven me to do this? Then you need to look in the mirror and simply admit, I've chosen it. Nobody pushed Solomon into this search. He chose it. He may have had some help along the way. He chose it. So the real problem is not that my desires are too strong or your desires are too strong. But the problem is our desires for the right things are too weak. Look at that again. The real problem is not that my desires or your desires are too strong, but our desires for that which is right, that which is lasting, that which is eternal, those desires for those things don't match up to our desire, the pull of pleasure. You know, this is what I have the hardest time understanding. kind of makes you sore. You get sore going nowhere. I mean, what, how does that make sense? We talked about the fact that there's this book right before Ecclesiastes, Proverbs. And Proverbs is attributed to Solomon, for the most part. I mean, he's the king. Wisest man on the face of the earth. And these are proverbial sayings. Now, I'm not saying that he wrote every single one of them. He probably had some help. And his father, David, probably influenced him. But when you put together the 31 chapters of Proverbs, they're basically attributed to Solomon. That's what they should be. Ecclesiastes is attributed to Solomon for the most part. Well, some scholars may disagree, may say it, you know, it's an unanswered question, you can't really know, but, you know, the hints that he gives us, he just said in this chapter that he was the wealthiest of all in Jerusalem who came before him, meaning the ruler. So, you know, it's pretty evident that Solomon, king of Israel, is the main motivating force behind the Proverbs and the teaching of Ecclesiastes, where we are right now. So this is what I don't understand. If Proverbs came first, and there's a good reason to believe that Proverbs was written before Ecclesiastes. And you know what that means? That means that Solomon wrote things and lived by things years before, but when it comes to Ecclesiastes, it's though he forgot them. I mean, it's like he ignored one of his own warnings. Over in Proverbs chapter 6, 27 and 28, what does it say? It says, can a man take fire into his bosom, into his chest, and his clothes not be burned? Well, that's a rhetorical question. Of course not. You play with fire, you're going to be burned. Or can a man walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? Of course not. Now, this is a proverbial saying. These are just little couplets of truth. But if Proverbs came before Ecclesiastes, then what gives? It means that Solomon, years before, got this instruction from God, and he probably lived it. And he probably had to convince some of his own people, his own family, hey, when you play with fire, you're going to get burned. You better be careful of the choices that you make. And then over here now, years later, what's he, the same man, doing? Saying, I tried to find meaning and pleasure. I've been up that road. I've been down that road. It's all futility. Or he ignored God's promise. That's the one that really tells the tale. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. I mean, I bet you, some of you have got that scripture in a beautiful framed picture in your home. If you don't, you should, because it's a good one. I mean, these verses have been lifted out. As a matter of fact, they're the famous verses of Proverbs, I think. I mean, this is a life verse for many people. And when they talk about God's word and how much it means to them and trying to memorize verses, it's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But look at it. If Proverbs came first and the same man wrote both Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, then what's happened here? Solomon is forgotten. He's unaware. He's ignored the promises that God gave him earlier in his life. Now, if it's a possibility, and we'd have to say maybe it is, maybe it wasn't in that order. Maybe Ecclesiastes came first and Proverbs was, really doesn't matter either way. One may tell us a testimony out of ignorance and sinfulness. The other one may be a recollection of things and how my life has turned around. Take your pick. Either way, what's happened here is we have a man who sought to find meaning in life, And one particular avenue he took to find that meaning is wrapped up in the word pleasure. And it didn't matter how he described it, didn't matter how it looked, he came up empty. You always do. So, do you need to admit that you've been ignoring the warning signs, the direction your life is going? Is it that you have forgotten the promise that if we will acknowledge him, he will direct our path? Because somewhere along the way in these chapters of Ecclesiastes, Solomon is going to come full circle and he's going to go through all those means of finding meaning in life, and he's going to zero in on the bullseye, which is serving God, trusting him. So, you want to spend your life exerting lots of energy, but yet going nowhere? Just doesn't make sense. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here, call upon your name, knowing that you hear us when we pray. We ask for guidance today, Lord. We ask for insight. We ask that you reveal to us the truth that we find in Christ. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus we offer our prayers. Amen. We wrap up this hour the way we do each and every time we meet. We offer a closing song of invitation, of commitment. Because we firmly believe that when God speaks to us, he gives us an opportunity and we have a responsibility to respond to his word. So if he's spoken to you today, the choices before you may be the choices that need to be made publicly. Could be that you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life. I know his name wasn't in these passages we read today. It's Old Testament, but it's looking toward the coming of God's Redeemer, who we know to be the Lord Jesus. Trust him. Acknowledge him. Serve him. That's a choice that you make. We'll have ministers and deacons here ready to pray and encourage you. Step out and walk the walk God would have you to walk. Maybe you're here today and you know the Lord, just hadn't told anyone. Tell us. Follow him in believer's baptism if that's something you've yet to do. Let's talk about what it means and why it's important. If you need a church, here we are. Lots of churches around us, lots of great churches. You just need to find one where you can not blend in with the foliage and just come and go quickly, but a place where you can plant your life, where you can develop and cultivate relationships that will help you find meaning. Find a community, a church, a family. So if that's what you're looking for and you feel led to join us, how do you do that? You just step out and come forward. That's the beginning. So we invite you to do that. That's what God is leading you to do. But then for many of us, here we are. Lots of effort. Wears me out. Because I'm not making any progress. What does that mean for you? Well, it means acknowledging what you've ignored, remembering what you've heard and known to be true. It may mean changing your life priorities. It may be taking a close look at how you spend your time. God will show you. He always does. So that's our invitation. As we stand, as we sing, I ask you to step out as God leads.